you know, we've, I'm going to start off this morning by telling you what my purpose, what God showed me my purpose in the ministry was. I knew, you know, we all know mostly, generally, what our purpose is, but he narrowed it down for me because I asked him. We were probably a month ago, he was setting things in order, and we were asking, what exactly are we supposed to do? First and foremost, it's to push the corporate vision. Then I asked him, what am I supposed to do in what you've called me specifically? What is my purpose? And this is what he told me. You know, he said, what I want you to do, what your purpose is to get the people a revelation on Malachi 3:10, which, you know, that deals with tithes and offerings, and the blessings will come, be so much that we can't contain it. And in Luke 6:38, where it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Hallelujah. And he said that your purpose is to get that revelation out to the point to where it is being manifested in the people's lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give you praise. Because hallelujah. You know, well, prayer was good this morning. It was real good. What I want to get across this morning is that God wants to bless his people. That was my first title. Then last night, sometime during prayer, my title changed. So, we're going to add to it. It says, do you serve a $5 God or a $5,000 God? And then this morning, yeah, I've got three titles. We were praying about the revelations of God being inexhaustible and that he serves us fresh bread. And Pastor came out of her mouth that God doesn't serve us croutons. That sounds funny. And we all, hallelujah. And we got to thinking, but we got to laughing about that. But that is so true. He does not serve us stale, dry bread. Hallelujah. So, do you serve a crouton God or do you serve a fresh bread God? Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that your bread is fresh. Every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That sounds funny, but there is such a great analogy there that it's just, if you just think about it, it just blows your way. Nothing God does is stale. It's not stale. It's not dry. I mean, you think about it, a crouton has no smell, and they basically have no taste. They are hard as a rock. I said we could use them when we go to a restaurant. You know some of them, the tables wobble? Slide one of them under the leg. It'll hold it. But you can't do that with fresh bread. Fresh bread has a smell. You don't even have to, you can just walk by and smell it, and you can be full as you, and but you want some. That is the God that we serve. Fresh bread every single day. Hallelujah. 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 That is so true. But you can. You can walk into a bakery. You can walk all around a bakery someplace in some stores where stuff has been sitting out for days, literally. It has no smell. But if they take a fresh loaf of bread out and set it on the counter, you're going to have to go by and at least just breathe it in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is not stale. He doesn't serve stale bread. It is fresh. We just give you praise, Jesus. And we saw this morning in prayer, God is so big, he has a revelation, a fresh revelation for every single day. If you want a revelation, you can have a different one every day. And you will never exhaust the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will, yay, we will never. Hallelujah. We will never exhaust the knowledge that he has. And all we have to do is ask for it, position ourselves to where he can speak to us. Because I've wondered sometimes, you know, at work, he'll just speak to me. I'll be just going along, and he'll speak something, and I'll have to go write it down, stop what I'm doing. And that didn't used to happen. But it's like he's just got stuff he wants to say. He wants, God likes to talk. This is not even my Sunday school lesson, but if you think he doesn't like to talk, just think of this. The Bible says that Jesus did what he saw the Father do. We have a minute part of it recorded because the Word says that the world cannot contain what Jesus did. The world, the volumes cannot be written. So if Jesus did what God said and the world cannot contain what he said, God did a lot of talking. He spoke a lot. A whole lot. Hallelujah. We just give you praise, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have a new revelation for us every day. Every day, God. We thank you that you serve us fresh bread, that you don't serve us stale bread, that it is new every morning, God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, God wants to bless his people. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Let's start in verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God created man, and the first thing he did after he created man was bless them. So if he doesn't want to bless us, why did he bless Adam and Eve? The very first thing out of his mouth, he says, I bless them. I bless them. And the blessing is, he said, and the blessing that he gave them was to be fruitful, to multiply, replenish the earth, to subdue it and have dominion over it. That was the blessing that God spoke upon them. God created the earth. And he gave the whole earth to them. I've got the scripture somewhere. I'm not sure where it's at, but I wrote it down. But God gave them the earth. He told them it was theirs. Two people. He gave them the earth. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't think my mind can't comprehend the whole earth. But yet God created two people and gave them the earth. And if you look up the word fruitful, it means to increase, and multiply means to be in authority or to bring in abundance. What I really want to do this morning is to establish in everybody's mind that God wants to bless us and that we have a right to be blessed because it's his will, it's his desire. And if this scripture says to multiply and it means to be in authority, have you ever noticed that the people that are in authority, they have the money? They have the money. The higher up in authority you are, the more you have. You take the Koch brothers that own GP. They have. They're the ultimate authority over GP. They have the finances to prove it. But when God gave the earth to man, to Adam and Eve, it says that God began his relationship with man through an act of giving. He started out, he created them, he blessed them, and gave them the world. That's how God started his relationship with us. And there was no lack. Adam and Eve lacked nothing. Hallelujah. Let's look at Psalms 35. Psalms 35, verse 27. It says, Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God has pleasure in our prosperity. He delights in our prosperity, and he has pleasure in it. And one of the words, definitions for prosperity is to be in perfect peace. I don't know about you, in perfect peace. If you're in debt, people that are in debt, they are not in perfect peace. So you cannot be in perfect peace and be in debt. Psalms 84:12. Psalms 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No bountiful thing will he withhold. It says no favor will he withhold. No prosperity will he withhold, and no wealth will he withhold. Hallelujah. So God still wants to bless us. Psalms 37:4. Says, to delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God wants to bless us. Sometimes I think he wants to bless us, well, I know he does, more than we want to be blessed. Well, that's right. We've been conditioned, like Sister Lynetta said, to think that we're not supposed to have it, but we're going to recondition the way that we think. We're going to change our mindset, because Timmy Anderson said something last night. He quoted something tonight. Is he in here? You remember what you said? Would you quote that again?
It was one of my favorite sayings of Albert Einstein. He said, a problem cannot be solved by the same mind that created it. You have to change the way you're thinking. Poverty is a mindset, and prosperity is a mindset.
Yes.
So you have to change from poverty mentality to prosperity mentality.
Prosperity mentality.
Or you'll continue with the same problem that you've had.
Amen. Amen. So we have to change the way we think, because we have been programmed to think that none of us want to live in poverty, but we will get complacent with where we are if we have enough. But there is never enough. In my eyes, there is never, I can never have enough of God's abundance coming through me. I didn't say to me. It's through me. Because that is how we are going to reach the lost. That's how we're going to. We were talking last night, some about prosperity. We've got to get to the place to where if we can buy somebody a bill of groceries if they need to. Not just, if we're just to the place to where we're keeping our bills paid and then we got enough money to buy a tub of popcorn and go see a movie, and then we start all over again in that cycle, that is not enough. We've got to have enough that if we run across somebody and they need food, we can buy them a bill of groceries in the name of Jesus. We can buy them a refrigerator to put the groceries in the name of Jesus. We can put them up in a hotel. We can pay their rent for a month, till they can find a job in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you right now, I don't have that. I want that, but it's not there yet. But because I see it, and we can see it, we can have it. It's just like having a home for battered women or whatever. It takes money. So there's never enough. Because the more... That's right. We do have it corporately. And we already do those things corporately. But as Pastor said, we can have that individually. We can have it to the point that we don't have to come to the church and say, Pastor, can we do this for this person? We can just reach back in our pocket and pull it out and take care of them. Hallelujah. But we do have it corporately. It's already being manifested. For those of you that don't know, last Wednesday night, y'all paid off a debt for Dan and I. Some of you knew and some of you may not. Paid off a credit card debt. Hallelujah. And I tell you right now, that is the first of many. The first of many. That is the first of many. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. And we can't do that if we're not abundantly pressed down, shaken together, blessed. Hallelujah. Just give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you do want to bless us. We thank you, Lord, that you have more than enough. We thank you, Lord, that your storehouse is full. We thank you for it, Jesus. And we thank you that what's on the head will come down upon the body. We just give you praise, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, God started off blessing Adam and Eve. And there was absolutely no lack in any area of their life, none whatsoever. But because of sin, they had a separation between them and God. Their provision was from God, so when you're separated from God, you're separated from your provision. They lost their relationship with God, and the blessings go with the relationship. In Genesis 3:17, it says that the ground is cursed and that by the sweat of our face, that's how we'll make a living. But God still loved us so much that he didn't let it stop there. Hallelujah. Genesis 17. Verse 2. It's God talking to Abram. So he loved us to the point that here he goes all over again, saying, I will make a covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. God loves us to the point that he started all over again. He says, I still want to bless you. So I'm establishing a covenant with you now. And in my Bible here, I got a commentary from Dr. Morris Cirillo. And it says, when two families entered into a blood covenant, each took the other's name as a testimony forever that they were one. That they were one. In this covenant relationship, not only did God promise to be Abram's God and the God of his descendants, he took Abram's name as a testimony of his covenant relationship with him. It says, and many times God referred to himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When we step into that covenant, we become one with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we know, we just keep reading, we find out that man couldn't live up to that covenant either. We couldn't even uphold our end on that deal. So God when God blessed Abram so much, it says that he was rich in cattle, silver, and gold. This is in the old covenant. And he blessed him during a time of famine. I'd never really seen that before, but there was a famine in the land, and he was still rich in cattle, silver, and gold under the old covenant. But then comes Jesus on the scene. Because we couldn't live up to the first relationship, man fell. God established a covenant. We fell again. So God still wants to bless us to the point that he said, okay, Jesus, I'll send you to the earth and establish a new covenant. They can't ruin this covenant. Because they don't have anything to do with this covenant. All they have to do is step into this covenant. Just step into it and let me come in and change them. And this covenant will operate. The way this covenant gets started is when you ask Jesus into your heart. Ask him to come in and save you. You become a recipient of this new covenant. Let's look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 7. It says, know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. See, when God created that covenant with Abraham, he told him he was going to bless him, bless his children forever. It was going to be an everlasting thing, an everlasting covenant. And then this says, you know therefore that they which are of the faith, which is Christians, the same are the children of Abraham. So that puts us in line with the Abrahamic covenant, that what God did for Abraham, he will do for us. Verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, which was basically the covenant that we couldn't keep, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Jesus came on the scene and reestablished the Abrahamic covenant, except we can't mess this one up. We can step out of the covenant, but we can keep this covenant if we want to. if we're willing to lay our lives down, we can keep this covenant. Hallelujah. And in verses 26 and 29 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Hallelujah. So God wanted to bless us to the point that he wouldn't leave us alone. He could have walked away the first time or the second time. Hallelujah. But he didn't. He just kept on coming back. And it's because he wants to bless us. What Jesus did was he reestablished what Adam and Eve had in the garden. They walked with God and lacked nothing. We can walk with God and lack nothing. The key is walking with God. That is the key. The first scripture God ever gave me, and I don't remember now what he gave it to me for, but the first one that I ever remember that he gave me for was Matthew 6:33. And it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When you look up, when you want to know what all these things are, you can look back a few scriptures. And all these things, basically, is what you need in life. It's a place to live, food, clothing, anything that you need. God said, "I will give it to you if you seek his kingdom first." So I was basically asking, what does it mean to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first? In this ministry, what it means to seek the kingdom first, what I see, is to push the vision. We're seeking to establish God's kingdom upon this earth. And we do that by pushing the vision that God has put us under. Hallelujah. That's how we seek the kingdom. We embrace our destiny, the destiny as a ministry and our personal destiny. Some of you may not know what your personal destiny is yet, but if you hang around long enough, you'll find out. You keep seeking God, he will speak it to you, and you will know what your personal destiny is. But until that point, you just keep pressing and pushing this ministry. That is your destiny right now. Hallelujah. See, we have to get past the place of saying that I thank God can bless me. I think he can. That's a mindset that causes the power of God to stand still. Because I've heard people say, "I know God can heal me. I know he can. If he wants to, I know he can. I know God can get me out of debt. I know that he can. I know he can pay my bills. I mean, he walks on streets of gold. We've got to get to the place to where it's not I know he can, but I know he will. I know that he will. I know that he will bless me. I know that he will prosper me because his word says that he will. That if I am lined up with his word, he will. I know that he will prosper me. I know that he will bless me. I know that he will pay off any debt that I have. I know that he will. I know that he will. Hallelujah. I know that he will. Hallelujah. Let that get down in your spirit. You got to know that he will. Knowing that he can won't get you anywhere. Hallelujah. I know that you will, God. I know that you will prosper me. I know that you will prosper this ministry above and beyond, God, what we have right now. God, I've seen it. Yete kora manarere. I know that you will prosper us, God. Yete shokora manarere. I know that you will. I know that it is your will. It is your will, God. It is your will. It is your will to get us out of debt. It is your will to set the captives free. Yeah, yata kora manarere. It is your will to set us free. It is your will. It is your will, God. I know that you will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that you will, God. Hallelujah. And the way to enter into it is to start speaking it. Yeah, to start speaking it. You got to speak it till it comes. You got to speak it till it leaves your mind and starts coming from your heart. I know that you will, God. I know that you will bless me and prosper me. I know that you will use me to finance your kingdom. I know that you will, God. I know that you will use me, God. I know that you will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. We know that you will. We've already seen it, God. We've already seen it. We've already seen it. I know that you will. I know that you will, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just give you praise, God. We praise you, Lord, that you will prosper us, that you will use us to advance your kingdom. You will use us to reach the lost of this city, God. Lord, we just thank you that the finances are already here. They're already here, God. Yeah, yata kora manete. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that the finances are here, God. Hey, yata so kora manete. We thank you, Lord, that your storehouse is not empty. There's no lack in your storehouse, God. There's no lack. No lack in you, Jesus. There's no lack in you. No lack in you, Jesus. There is no lack. There is no lack. No lack, God. No lack in you. There never has been lack in you, God. Never will be, God. Never will be any lack in you, God. No matter how things get, God, there'll never be any lack in you. Never any lack in you, God. We just give you praise, Jesus. Hey, hallelujah. How can there be a lack in a God that created everything? There can absolutely be no lack. Hallelujah. He opens his mouth and things become. Hallelujah. There's no lack in you, God. And we just step into that no lack. We just get close to you because there's no lack where you are. No lack. Lord, we just praise you that there is no lack in you. No lack in you. There's no lack, Jesus. We thank you, God. We serve a God that's where there is no lack. Poverty is blasphemy to God.